Welcome. My name is Tatanka Bricka. I'm the chair of the local station board of KPFK here in LA. And it is Sunday, November 10th, 2024. And the time is 10:34 a.m. Pacific time. So first item on the agenda is the roll call. And will you, Lee, please call the roll?
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I'll start the roll. Rodrigo Argueta. Okay. Christina Avalos.
Here.
Doug Barnett. Veronica Becerra. Mike Bressler. Tatanka Bricka?
Yeah, just a second. Mike is here, I think. No, maybe not. Okay. I'm presente, Tatanka.
Rachel Brumke?
I'm here. Good morning.
Morning. Sue Cohen Johnson?
Sue is here.
John Crumshaw? Ace Estwick?
I'm here.
Vic Garami?
Here, but I'd like to tender my resignation as of right now.
Okay. Okay, accepted. Thank you. Vic Garami resigns.
Ariana Gladney?
Here.
Jen Goodman? Wendell Handy? Nikki Hahn?
Here.
Michael Heiss?
Once more with feeling.
Avelia Jones?
Present.
Oye Oye Ipo? Robert Payne? Nancy Perlman. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Oscar Uloa.
Presente.
Unmuted.
Okay. Yeah, presente.
Harvey Wasserman.
I'm here.
And Carlos Zavala.
Lee, Robert Payne was trying to speak.
Oh, did it catch that? Go ahead.
He just muted himself.
I'll get him when I go through again.
Am I unmuted now?
Okay.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Robert Payne is in attendance. Nancy Perlman?
In attendance. Nancy, we're using the same phone.
Okay.
Muted.
And Carlos Zavala. Going through one more time for the absent. Rodrigo Argueta.
Present.
Doug Barnett. Veronica Becerra. John Crumshaw. Jen Goodman. Wendell Handy. Oye Oye Ipo. And Carlos Zavala. So present we have 1, 2. Present we have 16. And absent we have 7. And with that, quorum is met.
Okay, we have a quorum. And I want to say that Carlos Zavala and Mike Bressler both contacted me for an excused absence. And also, Jan Goodman may not be able to make it. If she doesn't, she's asked for an excused absence as well. to those three.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? This is Myla.
Yes.
I'd like to move that those three absences be excused.
Right. No objection. Those three are excused.
Chair recognition.
Okay.
Chair, am I audible? Recognition. I have to ask every month, but I am a non-voting ex officio member. I don't count towards quorum, but I am a member of the local station board.
Thank you, Michael.
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Yes, go ahead.
I forgot to call the three individuals who are additionally listed. May I go ahead and ask if they're present?
Certainly.
All right. Michael Novick.
Yes, I'm here.
Stephen Meeks. And Rick Cooper.
You're muted, Rick.
Yeah, thank you. I'm here.
And those are the last three. That is all, Mr. Chair.
And I believe, let's see. Stephen was here. Whoop, where am I now? Okay. Stephen, are you here? Okay. I guess he's not.
Stephen, who?
Pardon me, who was that?
Stephen, who? Inquiry.
Are you on the phone?
Yeah. Sir,
could you please mute yourself?
I'm asking a question. Stephen, who are you asking for?
No, he's not. He hasn't called in.
Stephen Meeks.
But who is he?
Point of order.
Please, we're just taking roll. And I see,
Mr. Chair, this is Myla. Can I be recognized?
Yes, certainly.
I just wanted to say that, Stephen seemed to be, he was in attendance, but I wasn't able to unmute and then he disappeared. So maybe he'll come back and he is our treasurer.
Okay.
And it looks like, Roberto, Argueta.
That's wrong. So I want to be recognized here.
Is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is Rodrigo. Yeah, my name is wrong right there.
Okay.
Thank you,
Secretary. Did you get the Rodrigo Argueta is present? Make him present as well.
Yeah, but it's not my name. The way that someone wrote it is wrong. That's not the way it should be written. It's Rodrigo, R-O-D-R-I-G-O. Yeah, and I have a question too.
We're just taking roll, Rodrigo.
Okay, then I have a question.
Thank you. Okay, let's see, where are we? Excused absence. Filling vacancies. Okay.
I'm ready to read the mission statement if you want.
Okay, not yet. Just a second. We're on filling vacancies. So this is the part where we had and replacing delegates. So after missing three consecutive LSB. Oh, by the way, I just want to say, I will mention this in my comments later. A lot of the things that will be instrumental in understanding everything are posted in the chat. So, as the appendices. So everybody, please read the appendices. Okay. So after missing three consecutive LSB meetings for which their absences were not excused by the LSB, the seats for both staff rep Wendell Handy and listener rep Veronica Becerra shall be deemed vacated as of today at the November 10th meeting of KPSK LSB. Wendell Handy was elected in 2023, seated December 2023, term to end December 2025. These are filled by the highest ranking staff candidate in the last election, which was in just, you know, a few weeks ago. The highest ranking staff candidate from the last election is Vic Durami. And as of today's roll call, he has resigned and vacated his seat and is available to fill the seat vacated by Wendell Handy. And we are seating him today to fill that
that's
seat.
That's correct. There was a list posted of the runners up.
Michael, the latest election, there was much gone into this. All of us thought we were dealing with the election of 2023, but we're not. The latest election is 2024. Right. Consulted with that's people it. All the way up to Pacifica on that. So
that's the election I'm referring to.
Oh, what are you referring to?
The first runner up in that election.
The first runner up, as was stated, was Vic Durami. He didn't finish in the top two, so he is being seated. And Veronica Becerra was seated on October 1st, 2023 to fill a vacated seat, which term was to end December 2024. And the next highest ranking candidate from the most recent election is Rick Cooper, who will be seated to fill Veronica Becerra's seat today. So for the beginning, I want to introduce you each. Let's add them to our roll call. Vic, please introduce yourself and don't take more than 90 seconds. We have new people here who don't know who you are. So welcome.
Oh, thanks, Tanka. Vic Durami. been doing programming for KPFK for about 7 or 8 years. My program, The Blunt Post with Vic, has been around for four and a half years, I think. It's news and politics. I interview members of Congress and other high-profile public figures, politicians, activists, etc. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vic. And also, Rick, will you please introduce yourself and take a minute, take 90 seconds to introduce us to who you are?
Well, hi. Thank you for welcoming me to this meeting. I have always been a social activist. My history in radio is I began in 1983 working at KERG in Northern California, the station owned by Dan Healy, the sound man for the Grateful Dead, for a long time. I went from there to KHSU, Humboldt State University, where I had a talk show. And then I became a founder of KMUD Radio, also in Humboldt County. And from that, I was on the board of directors, personnel committee, financing, all kinds of things. Then I have worked 25 years in the film industry. I'm a member of the Directors Guild of America, and I have done consulting and teach a workshop for aspiring talk show hosts or current talk show hosts and producers, and how to tighten up their show, how to make it better without having an agenda, just helping the individual become better in what they do. Those are kind of some of the things I'm doing. I do a little political consulting, and I'm happy to be here and hope I can contribute some skills to KPFK.
Thank you so much, Rick. So welcome you both on behalf of everyone here.
Hey, Tatanka, point of order. Hi, this is Rachel.
Yes, Rachel.
Hey, so, hi, Rick. So I was just about to chat Rick and say, hey, Humboldt County, I've lived there too. My family's up there and I can't chat him because the chat is not actually open. Like, we voted on.
It should be open.
It's, all I see is the full meeting or just the three, the hosts and the co-hosts. It's not like fully open like it was last time.
It should be open. The chat should be open to the LSB members.
Is anyone else having this?
Anybody else having that problem?
I see there's a drop-down menu for the meeting group chat, and I see there's only three people, the hosts, Milo Lee and Nikki.
Yeah.
Let me, tech person, let's see, either,
But then there's kind of some legacy messages
either,
that have other
either
people.
Mila, would you respond to that, please?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I noticed in the chat before this came up that John Cromshaw had identified himself as Zoom user and that he wasn't able to respond to the roll call. So that's the first thing that I'd like to say. He has now been renamed, if he has the ability to unmute himself, there's nothing that from our technical end that would hold him back from unmuting.
So John, can you just simply come on and say you're present? It's good to hear you're here. Okay, well, keep trying, and we'll listen for you. And now for the item that was asked.
And then in terms of the chat, it's just a normal setup. I didn't do anything special. So Ace Estwick, Sue Cohen-Johnson, Ziri Rudeau said she can't see the chat, but I see that I don't understand what's going on there, but... Rachel, did you try to, you can, it's just, let me.
Yeah, it's kind of important, you know, Nikki and I are actually going to be,
I didn't do anything. You could, the chat's open.
Yeah. So it's not like it was before. I'm just.
Right, it's just open. It's not just open to co-hosts. It's open to everybody.
Yeah. But usually on a Zoom, you see everybody's name, therefore, and
I don't know how to do that, Rachel. I'm sorry. If you put something,
it's not just me. It's I think everyone is seeing that, so I'm just the one bringing it up.
Okay. Is there a way, Mila, to just
no? There's nothing.
Okay. Now I'm getting it.
Okay. Now you got it. Okay,
well, I didn't change anything, so
okay. No problem,
Nikki.
Okay. Thank
Nikki
you, Rachel.
Han here. I think
thank
I
you,
changed.
Rachel. So that's open for LSB members only.
No.
Okay. Nikki just said that she changed something on her part. So, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. From what I understand, I closed the chat, I X'd it out, and then I reopened the chat, and now I see everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay. Request for timekeeper. Welcome again. Thank you, Michael. This is your last time, and thank you for stepping up to the plate. Do you want to repeat what the rules are for people out loud? Michael Heiss, I don't know if we
you're muted, Michael.
Nope, you're still muted, Michael. Okay, well, I'll read it.
My apologies. I had the microphone off.
Okay.
Per the agenda, 90 second first time speaking, 60 seconds second time speaking, including points of order unless otherwise noticed. And I will also keep track, Tatanka, of the time per segment, but that seems to be a fool's errand, quite frankly. And, in addition to just saying when someone's time is up, you may see the old stopwatch here.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe we'll break that, pattern today. Okay.
Good luck.
We'll be all proved to not be fools all the time. Okay.
Chair, I have a point of order.
Time for a point of order. Go ahead.
Full report of the election, the last election being the 2024 election, as the first runner-up on the staff is Brenda Martinez.
Yes, go ahead, Mila. You're muted, Mila, because the national board really worked all this out. Go ahead, Mila. You're still muted.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
There were three, national, staff representatives, elected, not two. Renee, put her final report has to be updated. The three who were elected in the last election to represent staff in the KPFK elections were Brenda Martinez. I'm trying to think of who the,
were Nanelle Centeno, yourself, and Janine Roan. Brenda Martinez was the first runner up.
Let me. Find that.
Correct.
So I'm going to, while you're looking that up, I'm going to make my opening comments and then we'll come right back to you because this is important. Okay. So I'm not blowing anybody off. I just got 2 minutes to make my opening comments. So, All right. So start the 2 minutes now. So on this meeting, I'm taking a deep breath and saying Omitakias and all my relations. We are all here to do the business of KPFK, Pacifica's commitment to earth and human family. Aho. First item. Town hall meeting is next Sunday, a week from today. It's very important we all show up. I'm talking to everybody on the call, but particularly board members, to show up as a united force for listening and connecting with our community. And personally, I'm looking forward to seeing you all in the flesh. You know, since COVID, we've been having these Zoom meetings. This is the first time we've all been meeting together as a town hall. So I hope to see you there next Sunday. All the information is in the, I mean, you probably all know it, but it's in the agenda, the exact date, time, place. Two, I'm requesting proposals for agenda motions, and you all see them in the additions that have come in, to be received anytime during the month, but to make it rational on the end of planning the agenda. Ideally, let's aim for 72 hours ahead. That still leaves you 27 or 28 days to put in a proposal for a motion. Everyone who requested one all the way up to after I was a secretary was in bed last night and it came on this morning was put on the appendix list. It will come in as new business and we'll deal with it. But please, it just makes it a heck of a lot easier. And also I will do the best knowing that and to get the agenda out earlier than at the last minute. So it'll just make everything smooth. Three, the appendices are important when they appear on the agenda and they're important for decision making comments like what we're going through now with this. One of the items about the list that Wendell Handy put out on the Zoom call recording all the excused absences per month was totally filled out. And there were a couple things that were actually incorrect that were changed and that's posted on KPFT. But it's really important to read the appendices. And four, this is going to be another long 2.5 hour meeting. If we all keep our time agreements and don't use too much extra time, although this is important, what we're going through. So please, let's work together to do our work in a cooperative and respectful manner. And we're setting the stage for excellent programming, greater KPFK member audiences, fundraising, inclusion and diversity, and to be the magnet in the community so that they know that we're listening and responding. Aho, that's it. Okay. Now I'm going to go back. Anything to report yet, Myla? Or shall I just go on with the agenda? Because we will not end this meeting without resolving.
I am looking at the results and I believe that Michael Novick is correct.
Point of order, John Crumshaw, can you hear me now?
I am not John Crumshaw. I am Margot Iser. Somehow my name came up as John Crumshaw.
Well, I just signed in, Margot. I'm just saying that I was unable to unmute. I went back through the whole process again. Can you hear? You can hear me now.
I can hear you, but I can't. My name is listed as John Crumshaw. I don't know why I can't.
I have no idea. I just put my name and, I see a hand up. I have no idea, but as long as you can hear me, mark me as present.
Thank
you. Yeah, but can other people hear me?
You've changed, Margot.
We got that, John. You are marked as present.
Margot,
your name is not there now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. Are you finished, Myla, or not?
Well, let me just do a screen. It appears that Michael Novick is correct on this.
Okay, and so who is the next up that could be seated?
It looks like it's Brenda Martinez.
Okay.
Point of order. Point of order.
Go ahead. What is the point of order?
You're saying that something was tacked on beyond the appendix. What are you saying is there? It's after the appendix?
That's not a point of order. I'm just saying, everybody, please read the appendix items. Thank you. So is Brenda here? Okay. I think the protocol.
Looking for Brenda Martinez.
Here we go.
Yes, Brenda Martinez is the next runner-up.
So I can call her right now.
Okay, so Brenda Martinez is to be seated, I believe, at this meeting. And I think we will, I'm just winging it here. This is my first time through all this, but I think it's correct if she's the next one that we welcome her as a new LSB member. We haven't had a chance to speak with her. Yes, go ahead.
Point of order, sorry.
Yeah.
I'd like to fall on my sword here. I really made an error, and I'm wondering if Vic Jarami would like to rescind his resignation, because I believe that he resigned because he believed that he was the next runner-up.
Yeah, I was really happy to hear that he would continue.
I would like to continue to be of service to KPFK. So, yes, I do rescind it.
Okay, we hear that rescission. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Vic. Okay, so we are formally welcoming Brenda Martinez as an LSB board member.
Hold on. No.
Okay.
That would have been replacing Vic for having resigned, but Vic has now rescinded. So,
it's replacing Wendell.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Let me just call her, okay?
You're right. Replacing Wendell. And Vic is also receiving his resignation. Okay. Sorry, everybody.
Okay. Well, Thank you for
Oscar, you are
not perfect here.
Oscar, you may have the floor.
Hold on just a second. Is this a point of order, Rodrigo? Is that you talking?
Yes. Basically, what I want to make sure is that I can call Brenda Martinez so she can join us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Call her and get her onto the meeting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, when she comes, be sure to let us know. Okay, Rodrigo? Okay. Chair comments, KPFK meeting decorum policy. Avelia, meeting decorum policy. Thevelia Jones. And if you're trying, oh, there you go.
Meeting decorum. The following rules and progressive discipline apply to KPFK local station board members and the public at LSB regular meetings as well as LSB committee meetings. Number one, at a meeting of the local station board, LSB members must wait to be recognized by the chair before speaking. Each speaker shall be allowed to speak for 90 seconds, unless a different time limit is agreed on. No one shall speak a second time unless anyone who hasn't spoken and wishes to speak has done so. No one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item, unless giving a report and or being asked to respond. Number two, no LSB member or member of the public may physically assault or touch another person. Failure to leave or do so may result in the offender losing all future speaking and attendance rights. Number three, no LSB member or member of the public may speak without being recognized, interrupt another who has the floor, or otherwise disrupt a meeting by any verbal or physical action. The only exception is to make a point of order or other such point of privilege as allowed per Robert's Rules of Order, which can be done only by LSB members or members of the LSB committees. An LSB member who makes a point of order may interrupt another LSB member who is speaking. Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 8.23, Number 3. A point of order is in order when another has the floor, even interrupting a person speaking or reading a report, if the point genuinely requires attention at such a time. Personal verbal attack on the character of another should also be considered disruptive and not tolerated. Less formality may be desired in some committees at the discretion of the chair and or the body. However, if discourtesy or disruption impede the work of the committee, more formal procedures should be reverted to, at least for the duration of the meeting. There's a number four. Upon a first minor offense, the chair would give the offender a warning. Upon a second offense, a second warning should be given. Upon a third offense in the same meeting, the chair may ask the body to consider depriving the offender of the right to be recognized for the remainder of the meeting. Such a request should be voted on immediately and would not be debatable. If the offender continues disruptive behavior, she or he will be asked to leave the assembly, and if she or he fails to do so, may be barred from future participation. Number five, any non-LSB member who has been reprimanded frequently for disrupting regular LSB meetings or LSB committee meetings should not be appointed to any LSB committee. Six out of seven, the attached zero tolerance for violence Pacifica policy passed in March of 2010 and should be followed and adhered to. Finally, number seven, Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 20, disciplinary procedures should be referred to and take precedence over this motion if anything herein stated is in contradiction to those rules. I'm finished.
Thank you, Avelia.
Point of information.
And then.
Point of information. This is Sue Cohen Johnson.
Pardon me, who is speaking? When
Sue Cohen Johnson. When did we vote that someone may speak only two times and not more?
Sue, this is for a point of order.
Point of information. Point of information.
This is the policy of KPFK local station board. I don't know the exact date that it was implemented. Maybe you can research.
I don't think so.
Maybe you can research that and let me know. I just know it's a policy. And anybody else want to answer that before we go on?
Lately, we've been allowing people to speak more than twice.
Yeah, that's wrong. Where is it? When did we approve that? And who invented that?
Jesus Christ.
I don't really appreciate this right now.
It's a procedure. This is a point of procedure. You cannot implement policies that we are, as a local station board, has not approved, or you cannot prove that we approve. So how are you going to be implementing something?
Okay, thank you. I hear the point. I hear the point of order. The point of order is when
proceed as chair.
Rodrigo, a point of order is not to be discussed. Okay.
Well, it is. It is when you're like violating the same procedure. It is. Yeah.
Bring up the point of order, Rodrigo.
Okay. Can you clarify that then, please?
Yes. Can a national board member clarify that? Jan isn't here. Myla, go ahead.
What do they have to do with it?
No,
what does the national board member have to do with it?
You asked for a clarification of that, and I'm asking a board member to give it. Now, please listen. I'm answering your question, so go ahead.
The rules of decorum adopted by the KPFK local station board are attached to the agenda of this meeting and have been attached to the agenda of the meeting of the previous meetings of this KPFK LSB for, I believe, the last year. You can find the link on KPFTX, and we have been operating with these rules of decorum that include the length of time that people are allowed to speak.
We have not.
You know what? This is the reason why I said, please read. And your point of order is not well taken. It has been answered. So we're going to move on. Evalia, you have your hand up.
A question then. If we are applying these conditions, this meeting, why we didn't apply this condition last meeting in terms of how many times you could speak? Because there were none before, right? So
probably. If we didn't apply it last meeting, I'll take responsibility for that. We're trying to apply it now specifically for what's going on, Rodrigo. You're out of order. You're out of order. The question was answered. Avelia,
Yes, my hand was up, Mr. Chair and members, because that meeting decorum that was read comes from April 17th, 2016. KPFK Local Station Board entitled Meeting Decorum, taken from the Pacifica Zero Tolerance Policy, No Violence.
Thank you.
April 17th, 2016. That would give people something to look for. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We're on land back acknowledgement. Avelia, you're up for that as well.
Okay. I'm the reader for today. Okay. It's the reclamation of everything stolen from the original people. And I take the word stolen in consideration of those who feel differently. Land, language, ceremony, food, education, housing, healthcare, governance, medicines, kinship. It's a relationship with Mother Earth that's symbiotic and just. where we have reclaimed stewardship. It's bringing our people with us as we move toward liberation and embodied sovereignty through an organizing political and narrative framework. It's a long legacy of warriors and leaders who sacrificed freedom and life. It's a catalyst for current generation organizers and centers the voices of those who represent our future. It's recognizing that our struggle is interconnected with the struggles of all oppressed peoples. It's a future where land, where black reparations and indigenous land back coexist, where BIPOC collective liberation is at the core. It's acknowledging that only when Mother Earth is well can we, her children, be well. It's our belonging to the land because we are the land. We are land back.
Thank you so much, Avelia. You read that so well. Pacifica Foundation mission statement, Harvey Wasserman.
That's a tough act to follow. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energy of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community.
Thank you, Harvey. I'd like to ask for approval of the agenda, and this would be the second revision that was just sent out less than an hour prior to the meeting that Lee sent out, which included Soko and Johnson's request. So I'd like to ask for somebody, I'd like to ask for approval of the agenda. Do I have a second?
Can you read it out loud?
Yes, we can read the agenda out loud, the topics. Do I have a volunteer for that? I'll do it. So from this moment on, we are in opening business. We did call to order excused absences, filling vacancies, requests for timekeeper, chair comments, KPFA meeting decorum, land back acknowledgement, mission statement. We are now at approval of agenda and approval of the minutes. Then it's fundraising committee report. After that, the PNB director's report. After that, the treasurer's report. And then the IGM report. Then public comment for 15 minutes of people who are not LSB members, the public at large. Then the LSB committee reports. That's personnel committee, program oversight committee, committee of inclusion report. And public comments again for another 15 minutes, then LSB member community announcements, and then new business, and then adjourn, which is we're aiming for 1 p.m. time certain. Hey, approval of the minutes. Do I have a second? I mean, approval of the agenda. I'm sorry.
I second.
Thank you. It's been seconded. Any objections?
Yes.
Okay. Pardon me?
Yeah, there's objection.
And who is that speaking?
That's me, Rodrigo. I've been raising my hand, Chair.
Okay. Okay. We have to, for radio, we have to say the name. Are there any other objections? Okay. Hearing none, the agenda is approved.
What do you mean, hearing none? I'm objecting it.
Hearing no other objections. If we're not going to take...
Oscar Ulloa objects to the point of giving an explanation of the objection, please.
What do you mean? If I'm objecting it, then we have to discuss it, right? Otherwise, you have to take it. If it's going to be approved, then you have to take the vote.
We need to know the reason.
The reason is because
Secretary, would you please call the roll for this? I just don't want to take the time for all this back and forth. Please call the roll to approve the agenda.
I want to say why I am opposing it.
No, you had an objection.
He has the right.
Asking for approval of the agenda. Okay,
this is Oscar Ulloa also objecting and also requesting the reason of the objection, if we may.
All right. You have 60 seconds, and then we're going to call the roll.
90 seconds, actually.
You've already spoken.
Well, you don't allow me to do it.
Take 90 seconds, Rodrigo. Go ahead.
Very easy. I sent a proposed motion as many of this board requested to be taken in account, but I want that motion to be taken in account before we start the meeting, which is basically stating that in case anyone needs to be, needs translation, this translation be given. That's one of the motions that I've been, bringing, back and forth. But, there's a lack of sense. You're not sensible to it, right? You don't give a damn about that. You've been asking it, but now I send it to you and I send it to everyone. And I want to be taken into account that one before we start. That's my request. Simple request,
Thank you, Rodrigo. Okay, let's take the vote. Secretary,
can you hear me?
Please take the vote.
All right. I'll now take the roll.
The vote is to approve the agenda. Yes is to approve. No is not to approve. Go ahead.
All right. Rodrigo Argueta.
I'm asking to.
We're taking the roll call. Look, this is why I was asked to be a board member. I've heard of board meetings that take 4 hours to approve the agenda. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there, Rodrigo. The point of order, we're taking a vote, Rodrigo.
I'm moving this motion. This motion has to be discussed first.
I don't want to have to mute you. I'm following Robert's rules of order here, Rodrigo. So please. Would the secretary please take the roll?
All right. Rodrigo Argueta.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Christina Avalos.
Yes.
Rachel Brunke.
Sorry. Yes, but I see his point. But I think it was brought on too late. I would ask that all the appendices on number 4 be first item of business next meeting.
Yeah. Great. And I would say in the future, we're taking a roll call and that's a really good point. Please put it in writing, get it to us, and it will be done. Okay, go ahead.
Sue Cohen-Johnson.
Sue votes no.
John Crumshaw.
Yes.
Ace Estwick. Welcome back. Vic Garami. Welcome back.
Sorry, I muted myself.
And what is your vote?
I'm sorry, I had to answer a call. I missed the
okay.
Last
do you approve the agenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Ariana Gladney. I'll come back. Nikki Hahn.
Yes.
Michael Heiss.
Yes.
Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Robert Payne. I'll come back. Nancy Perlman.
Can you hear us? Hello? Robert
very
Payne
vaguely,
said yes.
I can.
I said yes.
Okay, thank you.
No. Yes, yes, for the agenda.
I have got both of you.
We got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Myla Reason. Continue the roll call, please, Secretary.
If you want me to experiment and see if we're muted or not.
We're not muted. Mute.
Nancy, I need you quiet. I need you quiet.
Go ahead, Secretary.
Myla Reason.
I vote yes to approve the agenda.
Oscar Ulloa?
I vote no.
Harvey Wasserman? Let me go back to those who I missed. Ace Eswick? Ariana Gladney.
Can I abstain?
Yes.
Cool.
And Harvey Wasserman.
Okay, what's the total?
Total is 1, 8, 9, 10, 4, 3 nays, 2 non-votes, and 1 abstain.
Okay, so
Mr. Secretary, may I have a point of personal privilege? Oscar Ulloa?
The Oscar agenda Ulloa is approved.
Oscar Ulloa requesting a personal a point of privilege for the public to be informed or why we are here, if I may. Is my point of personal privilege?
You know what, Oscar, I want to hear it, but if I hear it, then I'm going to hear it from the whole group. So please, I'm only going to have you state this, okay? And then we're moving on. The agenda has been approved.
Okay, thank you, and I'll take it because this is a part of this discussion. Mr. Chairman, this motion is for the public to know. This motion is just about at the beginning of every on every meeting, just a simple request. Does anyone requires a translation? We've been on this road for like at least the 4 or 5 last meetings. How far, how difficult, who might be this thing to just make the consideration before, because it's a motion actually. Why, how difficult is to that? Do we forget? Well, we're going to have to remind on each, on the begin, on the middle, after we started the whole thing, just because at the beginning is not being established on the protocol, on the agenda or whatever, that it's just a simple, does anyone requires translation? And I'm sorry, but I think now you as a secretary, I've been dropping the ball on this simple issue because we've been on this situation for like the last 3, 4, 5 meetings and before. So under your attention and excuse me for my bluntness, but I think this whole situation just becomes because nobody's been paying attention to that or making the consideration or being mindful enough. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Oscar.
Well, we have megawatts, right?
Thank you, Oscar. I am going to say one thing about that, and then I want to go to approval of the minutes. For the entire year, I have said, please put it into a motion, because I have run bilingual, trilingual meetings. Many of us have. The issue is that translation is a very specialized thing. Anybody will tell you that. It costs money. So we're looking for a solution. And if you can be very fluent in the language and not be a good translator, this is well known in every language. So we need a proposal, and I've welcomed a motion for a proposal, and I have yet to receive it. So please, I take it seriously. Nobody here objects to that. What the way we operate is you put it into a motion and we vote on it. And I've been asking that all year. That's it for now. I'm sorry. That's it. We're going to go on to approval.
Motion is there, sir.
We're going to go on to approval of the minutes, Oscar. Okay.
I'm sorry. Point of clarification from the public.
Then would be different, man. Yeah, we are not gabachos, right?
I don't want to have to mute everybody. We want to get to our fundraising committee report all the way to the new business of new motions. We're never going to get there if we have the discussion here. That's why we have an agenda, and that's why I'm being, pardon me, hard, whatever, about this, because otherwise we never get through an agenda. Approval of the minutes. I'm asking for approval of the minutes. Do they need to be? No, they don't need to be.
This is Myla. I move to approve the last minutes for the October meeting submitted by our new secretary, Lee Thorpe.
I'll second that.
Okay. Seconded. Any objection to approval of the minutes? Okay, the minutes have been approved. Thank you. Now
point
we get
of clarification
to go
from the public. There are people asking if they could speak at the top of the meeting. I'm so sorry, but no one's looking at the chat. We are public members are leaving because it's been an hour and we haven't been able to speak. May it be moved to the top? I know you did the vote. Thank you. I'll be quiet.
Who is speaking?
I'm a member of the public. And it was a point of clarification. We wanted to know if it could be moved to the top, the public comments, because there are people dropping off. There are 3 people who have stated in the chat. Thank you.
Okay. We have public comment scheduled. We have a fundraising report, the director's report, treasurer's report, IGM report, and then a public comment. That should be about 46 minutes, and then we have much more to go after that.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead, Michael.
I just want to interject that at the conclusion of the first segment of the meeting, we're about 25 minutes over.
All right, we're already 25 minutes over. Okay, fundraising committee report, please, Nikki.
Thank you. The fundraising committee has been working on the town hall, and the fundraising committee is now fundraising and outreach committee. Rachel Brunke has been, a co-convener for this with me, and we've been planning this town hall that is 1 week from today. I can put the, address in the chat, but it is, being held at the Center for Black Power, next Sunday, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., we are asking that all the LSB members please attend, and an update on this town hall. So, the town halls are, as everyone knows, we're supposed to have 2 a year. We're, having one this year in person. And this is going to be a chance for all of us to hear from the listeners about how, you know, what is going on in their community, what they would like to see from the station. And then this is a way for the station to see how can we respond to what the listeners need through our programming. So it's a very important event. I'm very excited. We've been working really hard on this, and it's all happening a week from today. And we do need members of the LSB to help with either setting up or cleaning up at the end. So if you can't attend the full thing, at least for the town hall portion, please be there. We're going to go over the schedule in just a moment, a tentative schedule. So please be there for the town hall portion where the listeners are actually speaking, and then either come early to help set up or stay a little bit later to help us clean up. And with more people, it should be easier to make all of that happen. Let's see. And then, Rachel, do you want to, should we talk about the schedule or?
Maybe keep it a little short because we're, you know, running a little over time. I'll just say a couple of people who have confirmed, and I don't have the complete list in front of me. And then also we're going to have our last, organizing meeting for, to really talk about the day of and who's going to do what. And we really, invite everyone, to attend, and especially the board members to be there because, it's a town hall. There's also going to be a Greg Palast. Jan Goodman got Greg Palast to be a speaker, and we just knew, that post-election, everyone was going to want to gather. Post-election, everyone was going to want to talk. And so I forgot the name. Jan's not here. Myla, maybe you remember the name of the talk that we were thinking that he would do. We'll put it in the chat, but it's basically, you know, the role of media and such in this post-election, time. And so Jewish Voice for Peace is going to be tabling Educators for Justice in Palestine, a group from Whittier, I think the Peace and Freedom Party. And we're going to have people all the way from the Inland Empire and Orange County who've expressed interest, and Santa Barbara. And so there's really reaching out to the wide base. And again, the question is, you know, what's going on in your communities and how can you be engaged more with KPFK? How can we help your communities, and how can you help KPFK? There's going to be a lot of opportunity for membership sign up and for volunteer sign up. And again, like Tatanka said, face-to-face engagement. We're in Leimert Park. There's going to be food vendors. We're going to bring some little snacks too. What else? Yeah. And so it's going to be great. And so I'll put the meeting agenda, the Zoom link, in the chat. Thank you very much.
All right, Rachel and Nikki, I have a question. I have a couple of questions. What time do you want people to arrive for setup duty?
12 o'clock?
12 to 1, however, yeah.
Okay, and what time for cleanup?
Stay until 7.
Okay, and also, say out loud for radio listeners the date and time of the event and place.
It is Sunday, November 17th in Leimert Park, the Black Power Center. Some may remember that KPFK held the Dr. Gerald Horn event there about a year ago, same place, and it's from 2 to 6 in the afternoon.
Okay, thank you. And the last question, do you want people on the board to volunteer now to set up?
Yeah, and what Nikki and I did, we were kind of split it between the two of us, and we're going to be quickly, not dividing our attention too much, but quickly chatting individuals right now to invite them to come.
Okay, well, I'm not going to have time to be on the chat. I plan to be there, and I'll help to my ability with my knees. I have old injuries from sports, but I'll be there for both cleanup and setup. So I'll be there from start to finish.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you, Tatanka. Okay. And yeah, I do want to,
If any board members just want to shout out in the chat and tell us you're going to be there, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
I do want to shout out to Dr. Melina Abdullah, who has offered us the Center for Black Power to have this event there. She is also going to be speaking and opening the event and welcoming everyone and introducing us to the space. And so really her generous like donation of the space has made this possible. And then with help from people who work at the space, April. So yeah, it's really exciting and it's great from all the help that we have and everyone who's been coming to the meetings, especially Myla, Jan, Tatanka's been there. I'm just really grateful. And Rachel's done an amazing job, so we really look forward to having you there. And yeah, if anyone can't use the chat, you can shout out right now. If you can't use the chat, if you will be there or can help either for setup or cleaning.
I think, and I want a special thanks for both Nikki and Rachel. They really have done the whole lion's share of the work. Rachel, did you have something else?
Yeah, sorry. And real centering, and I want Rodrigo and Oscar to know, and you might know, I've been in communication with Elisa, that we wanted to center the Spanish language programming. And I particularly love it. I've said many times on this board how much I love From 8 to Midnight, and have people up on stage. I know you guys have an event the day before, but we wanted to know, Michael has always said what an interesting kind of collective you have. And I think that it would be a really great opportunity to share with our public how you form that collective and how you create such unity within your programming, because I think that's a lesson for us all. So let's be in touch, and we really encourage a Spanish language programmer and your whole cohort to be there.
Thank you, Rachel. Myla, are you volunteering? You have a point of order, or what is it?
I wanted to respond to Rachel. You said that I might know more about what Greg Pallas is going to be speaking about.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
So, I just wanted to say that, as we discussed, Greg recently sent out in his newsletter some of the things that we can do to address this post-election dystopia that we find ourselves in. So I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about constructive actions that we can take going forward.
Okay. Any other volunteers? And if not, we'll move on. Okay. PMB Director's Report with Myla. Then we have Trevor's Report with Stephen Meeks and the IGM Report with Michael Novick, and then public comment.
Might I allow, go afterwards, because, I'm sorry, I don't have the director's report in front of me and, to get us, so if I can go after the next speaker, that would be helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Stephen Meeks, Treasurer's Report. You're up, Stephen. We don't hear you yet. If you're trying to unmute, we don't hear you yet, Stephen.
I should have that report in.
Go ahead, yeah, Stephen.
Give me a moment. I have to walk over to the agenda, so give me about 30 seconds.
Okay, maybe I'll have Myla go first.
I'm pulling it up now. Give me a second here. Sorry.
Okay. All right. We'll hear from whoever gets there back first.
my excuse is that I am underslept.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm not sure exactly what you all want to hear, but I'm going to preface what I say before this. I do recommend that this station, in high priority, budget some money to have a session on proper parliamentary procedure and Robert's Rules of Order, because I think it's just absolutely absurd the amount of time that is wasted with people speaking out of turn, not knowing how to be recognized, points of order, and so on. So I do recommend putting that in the budget. Okay. One thing I will say is, everyone should have received this, other than possibly all the public may not have received it, but it is available online. One outstanding payment that was made was, approximately $150,000. The remaining funds from the sale of the building is $108,577.89. There was considerable money in the moving cost. How many people need me to go over every single item as related to the sale of the building and the amounts of money that was spent? Should I go over everything or no?
Can you do it in 5 minutes?
I can do it real quick. Okay.
Okay.
WBAI call center had an outstanding balance, and from the sale of the building, $154,722 went to them to pay that out, that outstanding balance. Allegiance. I'm not sure what that is, but, outstanding balance, P&O, WBAI, and KPFK was $75,618.64. We paid Best California Movers to move from Karanga to the storage facility. It was 2 days, $5,892. Constant Contact, that was May through October, was $1,897.27. Funds to cover KPFK PR storage and the payroll shortage, it was $6,202.74. Healthcare insurance for October and November was $15,390. I'm not going to include the cents, people, unless you just want it. Jackson, November rent. So there are two items for rent under Jackson, and that's for the office rent in Glendale, $2,925 and $2,181. The cost to move the piano and store it for 1 year was $2,500. I'm not sure of the breakdown for the year, but I'm going to assume to actually move the piano was over $500, and the balance would be a monthly fee for the entire year. Junk removal, there are two payments, $630. The other payment was $5,237. And that's from the Kawanga building. That was 2 days. Lowe's and Home Depot moving supplies is $99. Renee Asteria, it says NES balance. I'm going to assume that might be some type of reimbursement, but it was a balance that was due. $32,520. Southern California Edison for the tower electric bill was $7,151. U-Haul truck rental from Kawanga to the storage facility, that's 4 days rental and gas, was $616. Boxes were purchased. These are packing boxes. And if you looked at the photos, you can see the before and after. Those boxes from Uline was $2,315. Rogers and Company, which is the auditing firm for 2022 and 2023, was $106,550. So the total that was expended was $422,449. So the remaining funds, as mentioned a few minutes ago, is $108,577. And okay. That's
any other comments you want to have on that, Stephen? We will have time for questions afterwards.
Well, I don't know how Pacifica works exactly, so I'm curious if that outstanding balance that was paid for the benefit of WBAI, if KPFK will see those funds go back to them.
Okay.
May I speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so,
The funds from the building are Pacifica's funds, not KPFK's funds. There were some agreements about trying to restrict the use of the funds that did come from the sale to the PRA and KPFK, but there was a pre-existing court-ordered payment for that amount for the unpaid obligation of WBAI for the phone. So that's an obligation of Pacific as a whole, and it was met out of the proceeds, unfortunately. The larger picture is that we had to pay the entire SBA loan in order for the sale to go through. That's why there's so little coming out. And in order to get the FJC to agree to let the other lien holder get paid off completely, we had to pay down a substantial amount of that as well. So the main outcome of the sale of the building is a reduction in our debt load, but very little operating cash.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Let's see. So now we're going to go to the MILA for the PNB. That's Pacifica National Board Directors.
Wait,
I have my hand raised first.
Wait a second.
Me too.
We have time for questions after Michael's report. Can you hold till then? That's the time for questions.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, MILA.
And just to add on to the treasurer's report, because I am on the National Finance Committee, just Renee Asteria Penaloza is the National Election Supervisor for KPFK. So, Stephen, that I think it was about $32,000 payment was to the National Election Supervisor. So just to clarify.
Then what can I?
Or okay. Just to suit.
I have a quick question.
I am speaking. Okay. And
I thought you were done. Sorry.
And it wasn't a question. I am actually it's part of the finance report. And now I'm going to give the director's report, and then it'll be appropriate to ask questions. So
well, first we'll have Michael, and then it'll be have questions.
Right. Okay, right. Thank you. Okay. So give me a second here. I'm going to share this report. I attached the, Okay. I attached this report or I sent this report out to all board members, and it will be posted at kpfk.org. For the public to read.
Yeah, it is up there. I put it in the chat.
Great. So,
Doug Barnett is here.
Great.
Oh, thank you, Doug, for you get that, Secretary?
Let me.
Okay. Doug Barnett is in the house. Okay. Go ahead, Myla.
Yeah, I am. I'm just renaming Doug so we know he's here. Thank you, Doug. Okay, back to the national. So here's the report. The national board met on October 17th and November 7th and took the following actions. We authorized the engagement of Rogers and Company to perform audits for 2022 and 2024. That's really great progress. We approved the 2025 budget for the Pacifica Affiliates Network. Who are, the affiliates network is over 250 affiliates to the Pacifica, and they are one of the strongest, components of the Pacifica. They're just doing tremendous work and they contribute a great deal to Pacifica, and they pick up a lot of our programming and created national programming for the elections, and we're just really happy with that that unit of Pacifica. The board adopted several motions from the governance committee to improve procedural transparency for the national board and local station board activities. The report outs from the meetings, October 7th report out. The National Board met in closed session to receive an update about the KPFK property sale and authorize the executive director to sign a transfer of deed to accomplish the sale of the property. On October 17th, the National Board met in closed session on October 17th to discuss the sale of the KPFK building, aged payables, and other confidential contractual matters. I'm going to mute someone who's making noise. Okay. The National Board will meet again next on November 21st. The Audit Committee had a convening meeting on October 24th, and the schedule for the next meeting is pending. The Finance Committee of the National Board met on October 22nd and is scheduled to meet on November 12th, November 26th, and December 10th. And those meetings can be accessed. You can listen to those meetings on kpftx.org. The Governance Committee of the National Board is scheduled to meet on November 19th and on December 12th. The Personnel Committee met on October 21st, and that these are all National Board committees. The Personnel Committee met on October 21st and initiated the second annual evaluation of the Pacifica Executive Director. The committee next meets on November 18th. Scrolling down, we're almost at the end, folks. The 2024 delegate election results were certified by the National Election Supervisor on October 15th for delegate elections in the listener, member, and staff classes successfully conducted at four stations, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFT in Houston, and WBAI in New York City. For WPFW, our Jazz and Justice station in Washington, D.C., the number of candidates for listener members and for staff members equaled the number of positions elected, the National Election Supervisor provided a final report on November 7th, but not all questions have been addressed. And this report is being read by me, but submitted by all four directors, Jan Goodman, Avelia Jones, Harvey Wasserman, and myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think you got it within the time limit. That's great. Okay, Michael Novick, you're up. You have 10 minutes, and then we'll take question and answers for LSV from LSV members after that. So.
Okay, I did put my report up on the website, and the PNB director's report also up there. So I'll try to be brief, and people can look at it online. We did complete the move of both KPFK and the Pacifica Radio Archives and the Pacifica National Office out of 3729 Cahuenga. All of our operations are now taking place at 111 Jackson Street. We're still working on various aspects of the move, including completing the process of getting access to cloud stored data for the membership department and working on a schedule for using the recording facilities at 111 Jackson as expeditiously as possible. We have a lot of problems with the transmitter. We're operating below full power. Because of failing power supplies, we sent several of the non-functional supplies for refurbishing to a company that claimed they could bring them back up and warranted their work, but they were not functional when we received them. They're being returned for a, or they're, you know, we're getting a refund on that, but it means that we probably have to purchase power supplies at a much higher cost. The reduced power means that there's more interference with the Mexican station operating on the 90.7 frequency. We do have because of where we are, we're now connected to the transmitter from the new location, and they're doing some work on the air conditioning. That's going to mean we'll have to connect to the transmitter with the internet rather than our signal, but we think that that will work out okay. The translator for Santa Barbara has been brought back online, so we're now being heard again at 98.7 in that area. There's still, because of the move and the fact that we kind of had to build an entire station from scratch, there's still a lot of problems with the hardware and software, and we're replacing parts. There is a request from the interim operations manager, Charlie Wilkin, who, you know, collated the various things that we came up with on the technology task force, and that's gone into the executive director and the national business manager to see what can be purchased for both redundancy and repair of parts that are malfunctioning. It's been a problem. There's also a learning curve associated with some of the new equipment and the new software. On programming, we did participate in the national coverage that was mentioned. It was, the primary base of it was actually the existing Pacifica stations, with a lot of support from the affiliates unit and from various affiliates around the country. KPFK was responsible for the hour from 8 to 9, and we had a program, that was shared with all the Pacifica stations and many of the affiliates. That was hosted by Tanda Sensation Moringa and Sylvester Rivers, with participation by Dan McCrory of the Working Voices program and Augusta Johnson of the Constituency program. A number of others were guests. We focused on local races of national import, like the DA and some of the ballot measures, the attempt to abolish prison servitude, which I note failed, and the effort to recriminalize and make felonies various property crimes, which passed. Very unfortunate results, I think, in my estimation. And we had additional programming the next day, various call-in programs. I asked Nana Jamfi to do her program live, and we took calls Wednesday morning. And then Mitch Jesrich was scheduled to do both his Letters in Politics program and then a special two-hour national call-in show. But KPFA preempted his program, which we get from them. So we did a call-in program here as well, a local call-in program with myself and Augusta Johnson. Got a lot of calls from listeners. As people are probably aware, there's a put the KPFK Rebel Nice News on hiatus to try to work out a number of different issues that have been, there was some really terrible consequences, not the fault of anybody still associated with it, but prior problems that were unaddressed or unresolved over a long period of time that led me to feel that we need to have a clearer definition of the goals, requirements, lines of responsibility, accountability for the newscast, sexual harassment prevention training, and define the nature of the where the news program fits into the rest of what we're trying to do to rebuild the audience and impact of the station. So I'll be meeting again, Marlene Bond and myself. I will be meeting with the current news crew and other people to try to reconstitute, retool, and redefine how the newscast will work going forward. We're also working on a local program focused on pregnancy and childbirth, reducing infant mortality and maternal mortality related issues. Like, we have been airing a program from Houston, from KPFT, which is very valuable, but all the resources they have are related to Houston. So Marlena Bond and myself have been meeting with a local midwife and OBGYN, the doctor who are interested in hosting a program for us that would be a call-in program that could deal with some of those issues. I don't know if people saw the headlines today about the fact that the state effort to reduce maternal mortality, which is a very, very serious problem, has been challenged by a number of organizations, including Black Women for Wellness locally, as not addressing the depth and seriousness of the issue and the racial aspect. That's very significant in terms of disparities in infant mortality and maternal mortality. on finances and fundraising, just to follow up on what treasurer put forward. We're under a lot of constraints because of the FCC compliance training that was mandated over the complaint that was filed against one of the stations, and the upshot of that was a settlement and consent decree that has been very it has had a negative very impact on the fundraising across the entire network, I think. And so we're trying to work on other methods of fundraising. I'm pleased to see the local station would do the town hall, but you know, the combining the fundraising and outreach committees, I think, might be an error in terms of the need to focus much more attention of the board on the fundraising aspects. I've asked the board repeatedly to engage in donor stewardship and calling lapsed members, and we are trying to do more off-air fundraising. We had an effort going to do underwriting that was also somewhat derailed by the FCC compliance process. And we are beginning a peer-to-peer fundraising project. We have a strong supporter who's going to be working with the Arab American community in Orange County, in particular, that he's based in. And we're trying to see that as a model for doing a lot more peer-to-peer fundraising. I have to leave this meeting early to go up actually to an event in Ojai, where one of our major donors is involved with a benefit for, humanitarian aid to Palestine. And I have a commitment to go up there, so I'll be leaving probably before the end of the meeting. I'll stay around for the questions if people want to ask me. But we're trying to set up a mechanism, and Terry Guy has been very helpful to create a donation page specifically for this supporter in Orange County. It will be doing something similar. We've been trying to figure out a way to upgrade the website. All the consultants I've talked with about our efforts at social media promotion and marketing say we must have a much more functional website that can be searchable. If funding is, hopefully funding again will be available out of the sale of the building for that and for a couple of other things. I think we have to restore the app. We have to get KPFK and the other stations up on the smart speakers. The last fund drive raised only about $82,000. We ran it basically almost the entire month of October, and I asked the membership department to keep, and it was up on the website through November 6th, in other words, through Wednesday, because I felt that we would capture some additional funding, with the special election coverage and the call-in programs, but really only a very small amount of money came in following the close of the on-air portion. And basically, the problems we're facing, the reason for the sale of the building in the first place, is that KPFK and a number of other stations in the foundation have not been covering the full cost of our operations for many, many years. And that continues to be the case. It's very troubling to me that we had to cover part of the payroll, as was noted. I don't know if that was mentioned as what some of the money was spent on here. I mean, that's a bookkeeping measure in a sense, because the original commitment was that we would be reimbursed for many of the moving costs that we have already incurred for months and months since May. So if it had been handled that way, then the payroll would have been met from our local funds. It's six, one, half a dozen the other. There's not enough money coming in.
Michael, so that's 10 minutes. Okay. I'll let you know.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. As I say, the report is up online. If you go to kpfk.org, and click on blogs, you'll see a blog for the GM and a blog for the PNB, and both reports are up there in writing.
Thank you, Michael. And we're now 6 minutes for LSB questions, and then we go to public comments. So I see.
Actually, I did have a question.
Barry and Alfredo up, but Michael Heiss, I think you have a question or a comment.
I actually had a question for the treasurer, if it can be added to the mix. I'm wondering when, because he is on the National Finance Committee, when the most recent financials will be available.
Was that for Stephen? Who was that for?
Yeah, that's for the treasurer. He's on the National Finance Committee.
Yeah.
Or any of the directors who might know.
Okay. Well, hopefully if he isn't responding now, he'll get back to you on the chat or in person. Michael, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. And just before I start the time for that, we were behind, but we kind of caught up. So if we keep to the time limits, we'll make the time certain.
Wow.
You know, good luck with that. But my question for Michael, and maybe this is more for Stuart or someone else, but excuse me, is there any issue with the FCC for running below the power limit? I know that's been going, I know from, you know, other side discussions, that's been going on for a while. But is there anything else that we need to do to make certain that we don't get any into any issue with the FCC, given what the heck is going on back there? You don't want to do anything that would give anybody there, you know, reason to bitch about us. And I presume that anything that would relate to possibly the long held goal of getting a new transmitter is lost, because of the nature of the proceeds of the sale, that would require a capital campaign. But about the FCC potential liability, thank you.
Yeah, the National Technology and Compliance Officer is in touch with the FCC. The first thing was just about the fact that we have changed how we're reaching the transmitter. And originally we had a agreement that was based on the fact that this was sort of secondary to going back to 3729, but we're not going back there. So this is now the main method. And then the larger question of the operating at low power, I think, is a serious one. At some point, we'll have to get probably a waiver from the FCC to operate below our listed power unless we can bring it back up.
Thanks.
KPFT, I think, had such a waiver for about 8 years. I mean, it is possible to get it, but it is, you know, an aggravating reality related to our financial constraints.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Well, just to say, I think it also impacts because the weaker our signal is, we've gotten a lot of reports from people in various areas that they're no longer able to hear us well. And I think that also has impacted our on-air fundraising.
Okay. Sue, did you have a question for either Michael or Stephen or Myla? Go ahead. Can you hear me, Sue? I think you're talking on the phone.
Sorry about that. For Mr. Meeks, what was that item near the bottom for $106,000? That's my quick question. Mr. Meeks?
Okay, Stephen, did you hear that? What is the item at, for $106,000 at the bottom? See if my notes, I have it.
Near the bottom.
That's the remaining amount after paying everything, as I understand it. Michael, you can correct me. That's the remaining amount that we have for the local LSB for everything. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's it, Sue. Okay.
So where's that money going to go?
I don't know. That's one of the questions. That's a good question.
Yeah, there was
a
commitment made at the beginning of this process that the highest priority of the use of available funds would be to cover the cost of the move for the KPFK and the PRA, and some of that's already included in what you see there. But there are additional costs that, you know, we encourage. We had to build an entire radio station from scratch, remember? And that was quite costly, and that's not yet accounted for on what you see that the payments that were made. So some of that will come back into our, you know, budget for KPFK. But
thank you.
Okay.
I can't raise my hand.
Harvey, I have another question. Harvey, go ahead.
What is the monthly rent at the Jackson Street location? Is the space now sufficient for, and how long is the lease?
It was a multi-year lease. I don't remember, but we did discuss making sure that it was fairly lengthy, because even we thought we were moving back, we felt it would probably be at least 2 years or more before we could accomplish that. It's in the neighborhood of $5,000. Maybe it's $5,500. I think that's why you see the two office rents is there two separate ones. Let's see. I think if you add those two, that is the total rent. So it's a little bit over 5,000.
Does that include utilities?
Yes, that includes utilities. We're no longer responsible for gas, water, electricity. We're not responsible for the trash dumpsters or the hauling. So all of those are savings on compared to the previous situation.
And what are we paying? What are we paying?
If I could just finish the thought, part of that rental fee is for the PRA, and so it would not be on the station budget.
What's the PRA? I'm sorry.
Pacific Radio Archives. We had to rent a larger space to accommodate some of their operations as well as our own. So,
I'm sorry. Is there a separate rent for the archives, and how much is that?
It's not a separate rent. That's what I'm saying. They have a part of it. We had to rent an additional large room, and I think that's the where you see the two rental figures. This is 29.25, or for basically the master control and the office space that, you know, where we have the broadcast chain. And then the 21.81 is for a second larger room across the hall that now houses the membership department, the sort of tech crew and the engineer and the PRA. So they'll be using a part of that space and will be responsible, I guess, for, you know, part of the rent will be on their budget and part of it on ours. I don't know the exact breakdown at the moment. I think it was 60-40 on the 21.
So the archives are in the same building, and the 5,500 covers the rent of the archive.
Well, yeah, 5,200. The archives have separate other rental spaces. They rented a great deal of storage space, and they're using part of that storage space actually for operations, because they are in the process of digitizing and cataloging all the material. So a lot of that will go on at that location, and that's not in our budget for KPFK. But part of their work will go on at the 111 Jackson, including we have their recording equipment of the air signal.
Are there archives stored anywhere else?
The physical archives are in a bunch of storage units, and they added an additional storage unit, and none of the archival materials is at 111 Jackson with us at this point. A lot of it is being shipped east to a project that's in the report from the ED that was submitted with the PNB director's report. Maybe they can say more, but basically we're working with a collaborative, or I should say the national office has taken over responsibility for the PRA, and they're working with a collaborative that includes the Library of Congress and the consortium of public radio stations, including Pacifica, and is digitizing the material, and then will return the physical materials to us, and the digitized versions will belong to Pacifica and will be available for, posting and monetization.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Is that it, Harvey? That's it?
And
that's
yeah.
Okay, great. I think we met our time. Now we're going to pivot on over to public comments. There's 9 people waiting. Michael, would you just talk about what the protocol is for time speaking and stuff so they know that?
It says in the agenda, 90 seconds first time speaking, 60 seconds, second time speaking, but only if those wishing to speak have already spoken. I'll try and give you a little leeway, but if you run over 90, you'll hear me say time. And if you're watching with the camera, I will be holding up the stopwatch.
Yeah, and maybe shortly after that, if you don't honor it, we might mute you, but we normally don't have to do that. People will wrap up. I also want to say that at the end of the 15 minutes, we have committee reports, which will take about 15 minutes, and then we have another round of public comment for 15 minutes. So it should be only about a 15-minute wait between the two things.
I
want to make a public comment, but I don't see my hand raised because it's cut off at the top of the screen. So Margot Iser wants to make a comment now or later.
Go ahead, Michael.
Just for everybody's information, it's now 12:17, and that only gives us a little more than 40 minutes left, which we have to really stay on time if we're going to meet the time certain.
Okay, thank you. All right. First up, so you have 90 seconds, is West. You need to unmute yourself, West. There you go.
Thank you. Hey, folks. I'm trying to turn on my video. I'm sorry. I want to be conscious of your time. Hey, everyone. So my name is William West Sigmuller. I'm volunteer staff at KPFK on the news program for about 2 years. And this year I moved into a supervising producer role. Just basic background about me. I've been an activist in progressive causes here in LA for close to a decade and a half. And I was really happy to be a part of this news program. Even though, you know, it's not funded, we're not paid, and it's an incredible amount of work. And of course, we are probably among all the really awesome programming at KPFK. We are the largest team for a program. And among our volunteer staff, we have the broadest diversity of opinion and ideological backgrounds by my estimation of any program. And so it's really quite an accomplishment that we've been able to form a cohesive and incredibly cooperative and professional working group to accomplish this huge feat of a nightly news program. So the short of the long of the situation is we've had back and forth dialogue with management at KPFK to try and optimize the program and to make, you know, management feel proud of the program that we've put together. And so we've engaged in good faith dialogue over the last 2 years to accomplish that. Things are never perfect, but we've always been, you know, very professional and open to that dialogue. Our show was taken off of the air abruptly following a very explicit situation of sexual harassment by a former volunteer against multiple members of our team. That former volunteer has now been removed from the program by the executive director for their very explicitly sexist and homophobic and threats of violence against our team members. Members of management are using this as a, thank you. Members of management, give me 10 seconds. Members of management are using this as an opportunity to penalize and retaliate against us for raising these issues and have cut us out of the conversation, and made that decision without engaging us. Thank you for the extra time.
Thank you, West. Alfredo, you're up. Alfredo.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I just want to say, first of all, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm a socialist. I'm an anti-imperialist. I don't have white privilege. I'm a brown Mexican indigenous person. I'm into wellness and health. Okay. So I'm very concerned about, Rebel Alliance News being taken off the air. I think that, what happened was this person making vile, violent comments, misogynist comments against people on the Rebel Alliance team. I think that's being used as an excuse to take Rebel Alliance News off the air. I don't agree with everything on Rebel Alliance News. I think that it's one of the few programs that actually will take up the discussion of how COVID was handled, the question of the vaccines and people being coerced into taking a medical intervention, which was an experimental one, that being the vaccine, and a lot of other things. The overwhelming programming on KPFK does not take up this discussion. It's just a fait accompli. If you're against it, you have white privilege, you're a racist, whatever. I'm none of those things. This is just a lot of BS. And I think that this is the reason, or at least one of the reasons, why there's a hit on this program. That management, or at least some people in management, didn't like the fact that they're bringing up these issues. It's one of many issues they bring up. And so my question is, why not just take out whoever is being vile and sexist, leave the program on, and let's go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Alfredo. Next up is Paulina.
Thank you. I'm one of the volunteers that has been contributing to Rebel Alliance News since its inception, and I'd like to echo what we just heard from the previous speaker. Also attest to the fact that this team has been producing content daily, in a collaborative manner, We are many of us. I myself feel disrespected as a producer and a volunteer contributor, a steady contributor daily to the newscast with the international component. And we do feel retaliated against because indeed, why take the show off the air if the problems are not on the air? The problems are personnel issues. We as a team were dealing with them indeed. So the executive director has stepped in. I agree with her taking strong action, immediate action, as we shouldn't tolerate sexist and homophobic and violent comments from anybody. But she also said that the show will remain on hiatus until the investigation is complete. I respectfully disagree with that decision and strongly urge both management and, the executive director to reconsider. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Thank you so much. Where are we? We are at Alfredo. That was Paul? Yeah, Paul. Go ahead. Paul Robertson.
Correct. Paul Robertson. So yeah. First off, I want to publicly address what I texted. It was discourteous, inappropriate, and wrong. And for that, I apologize. I am above that and should not have allowed one to instigate a forceful reaction. It was not a comment based on her race, her sex, or her gender, and an answer to her disrespectful, self-righteous, sarcastic, arrogant, and racist tone. I resent that individual and her squad are exploiting it to overlook their harassing and retaliatory conduct and ultimately ignoring and minimizing the risks and impact that their distorted and dishonest news programming creates. I appreciate their desire to provide information about the risks associated with vaccinations, however, and the overall potential and possibility that this program represents. But I refuse to be silenced, censored, and attacked because I challenged them as a previous member of the so-called team to create a platform and unbiased critical assessment of the efficacy and the benefits of vaccination, particularly in the Black and brown communities. I'm sorry that a privileged and advantaged few did not think highly of our communities to critically assess and assert our right to body autonomy and self-determination. Also, I am not a part of New Day, so y'all should get some new talking points. I have not been influenced by external motivations with some political agendas as some who think so lowly of free Black thought have falsely asserted. I am a free Black man, not your property, and I am not your Negro. I am my ancestors. Ashe.
Ashe, thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. Kennedy, you're up.
Hi there. Thank you. Thanks for letting us have a chance to speak. Yeah, I've been a volunteer on this show for about a year and a half, coming on 2 years. It's a great show. I love working on it. And just to go straight to the chase, the general manager, Michael Novick, has, he's put his personal political beliefs ahead of this show, and he uses those to censor the show. And it's been happening for a while. And it's really unacceptable. He's allowed other shows on the air that have commanded the audience on the air on who to vote for, telling the listeners who to vote for. That is a total violation of a nonprofit and public radio. So once again, I love working on the show.
Let's keep the critique.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. As a Zoom host, I was asleep at the wheel here, but our protocol simply does not allow the kind of personal attacks
You can give your critique. At this point on the radio, don't name people because they can't answer. So just give the critique. And, I think you can do that. Go ahead. Whoops. Sorry. Is that it? Thanks, Kennedy.
No, Kennedy can unmute now. But I just, that was improper.
Okay. Ziri, you are up. Thank you, Myla. Ziri, you're up. I think you're still muted, Ziri. Yeah, there you go.
I'm really disappointed that, Paul is allowed to mouth off like this and, everybody else is obviously held to the community standards of non-abuse. you know, I was obviously the victim of this abuse. I'm the creator of that news show. We have formed a team of 20 people over the last 2 years. I'm very proud of this. This is a very professional show, especially by the standards we have to deal with no money and a lot of technical problems that don't even allow us live call-ins or anything. And so I believe that Michael made this decision to take us off the air totally inappropriately without talking to us at all. He only talked to Paul, and he only talked to another member, two people who were removed for exactly.
Let me just say this,
Tatanka. We're not allowed to be airing personnel matters in this way, in this public.
You can say, I think, the general manager, interim general manager. You can't use a name. And so do your critique, but don't get into personal stuff, okay? I think she has some time left.
Got 50 seconds. I'm sorry. Yes, 40 seconds.
Yes. Go ahead and unmute. You muted me. So,
okay, go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry. 40 seconds.
Okay, I would 50 seconds now because I was muted by somebody. So I want to protest us being removed from the air. I would like us to be put back on immediately. This is making Pacifica and KPFK look very bad. It makes it look bad for the lack of response of Michael for sexual harassment and also for censorship, which the Inc. I'm sorry. I muted Ziri again. We simply are not allowed to be making accusations about personnel in this forum. This is really inappropriate.
Okay, I want to just emphasize that, Ziri. I'll say something that probably most people anyway, I'll focus just on you. Just make your comments without the personal, okay? And then I will be speaking to you and a number of people later about things, but keep it that way because we're uniformly enforcing that because there's been so much. Then people have to have time to answer and go back and forth and the meeting goes on forever. But I'm hearing you. I think you still have a little bit of time. That's the second time. I don't know if you get your time back.
As they say, I'll roll the game clock back and go back to the 40 seconds that were there when this nonsense started.
Okay, and then just don't mention personal names, Ziri, okay?
Got it.
Thank okay, you. Go ahead.
So I also don't want to be attacked, and I was attacked earlier. So I want to just say that I expect us to be reinstated, having our investigation into this sexual harassment case be tied to our whole news show being taken off the air that has been successfully playing for 2 years, and we get constantly a lot of feedback, positive feedback from especially young people. It's really like putting like a victim of sexual harassment in jail until the perpetrator is investigated, you know. So this is totally backwards, and I feel this is wrong practice at this station, and I expect to be protected, and I expected us to be appreciated and not derided on the air as happened on Friday and in emails to all the membership saying this program is not fulfilling standards. I disagree with that totally. We never violated FCC standards other than other programs. And so I believe we create a classy show and ask to be back on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ziri. Hunter, you're up. How much time do we have left in this segment, Michael?
Let me see. It's 12:32. We're just about, I'd say give it 5 minutes, give or take.
Okay.
The comment was interrupted.
There's a lot of interest here. After this segment is over, we have about 15 minutes of business, and then there'll be another 15 minutes for public comment. So I hope you'll stick around. Go ahead, Hunter.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Hi, thank you. I've been hosting once a week for Rebel Alliance News for over a year now. I've produced some segments and I interview people. Half my family is from, are Mexicans. So even though we occasionally do some stories, including myself, about the COVID situation that might be different than some of the other content, there's nothing racist about that. I've interviewed medical doctors from with mainstream credentials from Ivy League level schools regarding the COVID content. Ziri was elected by thousands of members to the Pacifica National Board and also as chair of the local station board at some point. So that shows the content of Red Bull Alliance News is important to thousands of members, the fact that she was elected to those boards. It does look like a retaliation to remove Red Bull Alliance News from the air after the person that was complained about who spoke earlier, he used the same wording, the show's going to go on hiatus. That person was complained about for his abusive behavior, and then the show was taken off the air by the GM using that same word, hiatus. He used the same wording. So that looks like retaliation there, and there's evidence they're using that word, hiatus. The 9 a.m. Monday through Friday show, that person, I guess I'm not allowed to say their name, but the host of that show has broken federal election law by telling people who to vote for, vote for the certain political party, and vote for Kamala, vote for Democrats. That's against federal election law, and we have not done that at Rebel Alliance News. Am I muted? Have I been muted, or?
No, you've run out of time.
No. That's just the time. Your time is up for this time. Okay, you can come back time. for 60 seconds later.
Thanks. We have not broken those laws, so we're being selectively regulated there. So please look at that night show.
Thank you, Hunter. Thank you very much. And whoever is 1562 ending in 149, 562 ending in 149. You have to unmute.
This is Bella DeSoto.
Hi, Bella.
Hi. So I agree with everything that has been said. I believe this program has been targeted, the Rebel Alliance News, for political reasons, acquiescence, pressure. Okay, I need to cover so much. The so-called code of ethics, this code of ethics was initially introduced by Grace Aaron back in 2016. It was actually rescinded. It has changed over time, but you have brought it back and you have forced the rest of the board to adhere to it. But they do not know anything about this measure, about these code of ethics, and you're trying to impose that to the public as well. The public has the right to speak on any subject they so wish, as long as they do not curse and are discourteous, not courteous to individuals. Beyond that, you have no right to censor free speech. That is the reason why you took off the chat of the Zoom, so the public could not interact with all of you. The other thing is that there are new business motions that the public needs to support as well as this board. This board has gone on without a governance committee. The governance committee is where all the committees, the LSV members, and the public get to input as to what goes on the agenda. Rather, one or two individuals get to decide what the agenda content will be. This is illegal.
Okay, that's
unlawful.
That's your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will come back.
Okay, great. Monique, you're up.
Hi. Before you start my time, I just have a couple clarifying questions for the meeting.
That'll be part of your time, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to state, is it protocol to continue to lower someone's hand?
Okay, thank you. You've said that. I don't think it was intentional. Go ahead.
Okay, and then my other question is it normal protocol to keep the public waiting for 2 hours?
You know what? I ask that question all the time. We run this meeting, and and this is better than most, believe it. So
okay.
Next time we may put the first public comment on a little bit earlier, but we're just we have a lot of a diversity of opinion. It gets heated, and we're trying to practice respect for each other and disagree. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Point well taken. It's just some people felt that they were low on your scale of interest and they left. Okay. You may start my time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am a member of the California Educators for Medical Freedom, but I am speaking on my own behalf, not them. We actually half won. I'll say half won because the case is still ongoing, but we were in the appellate court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. And there were many people who lost their positions because they did not accept the experimental injection. And so we actually won a case opinion in that court. You can check that out. LAUSD superintendent. Okay, I'm not going to give any names, as you said, but you know who the superintendent is. He's good, but in this case, we were not fond of what was being done to us. On religious grounds, whatever you believe in, stating that someone is an anti-vaxxer, that is discriminatory. If you're a paid employee, you can actually take that to the California Civil Rights Department because it is a belief. There are many people, they don't want animal material or human material to be injected into them. I know one person here, she's a vegetarian. I'm unsure why she's all right with it, but she is. And unfortunately, we debated for 3 years and now we don't talk anymore. That's sad. People need to have the information and not be silenced when giving an alternative narrative than the regular media. And that's what I'm going to say. Keep your well reputation, KPFK. Keep this show on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. And thank you for those questions, the clarifying questions as well.
Tatanka, the extra 5 minutes has elapsed.
Okay. So are we at the end of the 15 minutes?
Well, we added five just to accommodate the, folks, the time
okay,
spent by
one,
people.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. I think we got through nine the first
and
time.
We got
through.
20 minutes.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to ask the rest of you to wait about 15 minutes and we'll take the first nine of you right away. Thank you for waiting. The next on the agenda here is our LSB committee reports. Total of 15 minutes. We have a personnel committee report. Now, Jan Goodman wasn't able to make the meeting, so I don't know. Are we even having that report? Can someone either Avalia or Harvey or Myla comment on that?
I can. This is Myla. May I be recognized?
Yes.
Thank you, Tatanka. We are required to undertake a manager evaluation. Every KPFK local station board is required to undertake an annual evaluation of the station manager. And Jan Goodman was going to have a motion to bring people onto our personnel committee. There is a uniform evaluation process that has been that is being undertaken right now at KPFT in Houston. And I believe the plan for the personnel committee is to use that uniform model that will be implemented throughout the Pacifica network for all station managers. And it's based on it's my understanding that all local station board members will answer survey questions that the station managers will be asked to do a self-evaluation. And I believe that there's some other, I'm sorry that I don't have all the details right now, but as I said, it's a template that will be used. It'll be, as I said, all local station board members will be part of the evaluation, but the personnel committee will be just making sure that everybody fills out their questionnaires, et cetera. And then, so the personnel committee will not have more input
in the evaluation than any of the other members of the local station board. So I believe that we were going to ask for people to self-nominate to be part of that committee. And I apologize for not, if you just give me a minute here. And I am wondering if it would be okay, Tatanka, if for the people who haven't spoken in public comment yet, if maybe a few of them could be allowed to speak while I find the motion that had been proposed by Jan that I don't have at my fingertips.
Okay, why don't you take that time? We also have a program oversight committee report and a committee of inclusion report. And then if you're still not ready, we'll go to the public comments, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Program Oversight Committee report, Victor Ami. You still with us, Vic?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I don't have anything to report. I'm working on materials and agenda for the next meeting, which I will post two weeks in advance, and I will let everyone know.
And can you just tell people on the listener what this committee does? Because I've gone to your meetings. It's really important. So just give them that before you let go.
Sure. So we basically look at the entire grid, the entire programming for the week to see, just do like a thorough comprehensive evaluation. First thing we did was we looked at all the programs and then categorized them as to what they, what they're about, what's the theme. For example, you know, there are shows that are just one thing. They're just news. But then there are shows that are, let's say, Latino and immigration. And then there are shows that are, they hit like five different topics. So we've categorized them, looked at them to see, what it looks like. What do we have? What are we lacking? And such, and making sure we also distinguish between shows that are produced locally and not produced locally, et cetera. So we now have an actual, analysis of our grid. We just, need to go to the next level at the next meeting, which I will notify everyone about.
Okay. Thank you. So the overall goal is really, this is oversight. We don't make any programming decisions, but are we representing our vast, diverse community? How well are we doing that and getting a handle on that? Hasn't been done in a while. Okay. Next is up Committee of Inclusion Report, Avelia.
Yes, in light of time, I would like to say at the town hall, November 17th, I think the Committee of Inclusion can have a table or a section. I will see to it that it happens when I get there early, Nikki, Rachel, and all the committee members. And we're looking for a committee of people that can do a few things, like monitor the underrepresentation of the communities in their respective radio station areas. So that sounds like not much, but it's quite a bit. It's a lot of on the foot action. And, I think maybe we should get a bigger list of people who would work together. And so I'm going to table it. If that's okay with you, if that's okay with everybody, that anyone who wants to participate in a committee that's going to monitor station programming and staffing, the diversity of elections, I'm taking this from Article 8, Section 4. Monitor the diversity of participation and consultation with the general manager. This is a very wordy committee. A lot of things you're supposed to do. And then report back about whether KPFK in specific is owning up to diversity, to staffing diversity, to programming diversity. and where you find problems, reporting it in a timely fashion. Let me get a committee first. If I'm there at the town hall, which I will be, I'll have a list where people who will work with us can sign their names, their emails, their phone numbers, and I can work from there. That's my statement.
Thank you, Avelia. Yeah, I urge everybody to come to the event next Sunday in the afternoon. It's in the, we've been talking about it all week, and we'll continue to send out information to people and to sign up and help out. It's your station. Okay. Avelia, are you prepared, or should we go back to more comments? I think she's not here, so I'm going to go to
more comments. More comments. I'm trying to not take up time. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. 90 seconds each, first time, and these are all first time folks. So, Jack,
excuse me. I'm sorry to talk. Just so I keep on track here. How much total time for this segment?
We got 9 people done in 20 minutes last time.
Give or take.
Okay, 20 minutes. I'm extending it from 15 to 20 minutes.
All right, just be aware that you've only got 10 minutes left until time certain.
Okay, all right, well.
Oh, right. Tatanka, might I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm putting together, I was sent a template for this convening of the committee to evaluate. So I would suggest, I should have it in a few minutes, and I would suggest that you just take comments from people who have not yet spoken.
Yeah.
And by the time that group has been exhausted, I should have the proposed motion for the committee.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll try to get as many of those people, because most everybody lined up hasn't been spoken yet. So we'll talk to you after that. Jack, you're up, and then 248-384, then Margot, then Martin, then Janine. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, board and listener sponsors. Listener sponsors and the board need to be aware that today's meeting is filled with bombshells. And I'm looking at hearing about a consent decree against fundraising for the first time, and that the proceeds from the sale of the building are wholly inadequate for KPFK's needs at all, and that suddenly the good content, 4 hours of good content every week, 5 hours of good content every week, is being removed from drive time suddenly because of alleged near hate speech or something inappropriate in a Pacifica meeting or a KPFK on the airwaves in public at all in front of everybody. And then I was listening to the PNB report, and I noticed that Dan Goodman isn't here, and it was just so bland. And I was like, just listening, it's like, okay, this is just another meeting. And then the bombshells hit. So I'm looking forward to adding myself to leadership in this regard, and looking at all reasonable solutions, and supporting independently produced media content, especially that's given to KPFK for its broadcast and prime drive time. This is and the funds in the process, with no transmitter, no PNB, and list storage fees. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Do get involved, Jack. We need good leadership. Okay. 248-384. You're up.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. First, 60 seconds is inadequate for public comment. It's inconsiderate of members and the public, and imprudent of Pacifica governance. Please put me down for a second turn when this initial turn runs out. This is Beth Von Gunten, previous KPFK delegate and PNB director, here to raise the issue of irregularities in Pacifica elections, rosters, and other aspects of government, both this year and in 2023. Tipping control of Pacifica into the hands of one faction disproportionately to the effect of exclusion of others, to the detriment of both members and Pacifica as a whole. Interested members, when I'm cut off, please take note, interested members and members of the public can contact me directly at natural person, all one word, just the way it sounds, natural person, at iCloud.com. The initial 2020, excuse me?
No, no, go ahead.
Okay. The initial 2023 election supervisor's report listed me as the number four runner-up. Ralph Hawkins, runner-up number three, died before new delegates were seated, moving me up to runner-up number three. Then KPFK LSB minutes were not posted for months. When minutes were finally posted, they failed to list the roster and attendance, which are required by law, because they affect who is eligible to represent members' interests in Pacifica governance. Okay. Please put me down for so this is just the beginning. Please put me down for a second term when time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I'd like to urge people to think that in this format here, we're just trying to honor time limits to get as much input in. So we're not trying to put anybody down. We're trying to run a business meeting. Okay, go ahead.
Next, taking up more time to do it again.
Margo, you're up. You have to unmute. I'm sorry, Margo.
Okay, I am unmuted now and Yes, I want to say that it's so important to keep Rebel Alliance News on the air because it does fulfill the Pacifica mission statement of providing non-commercialized, non-corporately influenced news and allows us to really have learn about alternative ways to deal with what I've learned is a good name to call it, the Cittolini in his cohorts. And we also have to really be sure to, I don't know if I missed the treasurer's report, but it's vital that the treasurer's reports on every single financial transaction, including income and the sources of it, and that, you know, what, you know, where the money comes from and how much was raised, and also every single expenditure. It doesn't have to include the names of the employees, but it just says salaries are such and such. And that would give us a chance to really understand and would help a lot more people have confidence to know where the money is going that they donate. You know, in other words, like say what comes from underwriters, what comes from individuals and things like that. And it's really, really important. I tell a lot of people about KPFK and our outreach is really important. But if you cut off something that's so unique, such as the Rebel Alliance News and other programs like that, that's going to just defeat the whole purpose and the whole mission state. So please keep that on and allow much more public participation and input. All right. And thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Margo. Okay. Next up is Martin or Martine. I don't know which.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you so much. So before we start my time, I would like to pause my time in the spirit that was done earlier to say that the words used to describe Paul Roberson, a black man with stereotypical language such as dangerous, aggressive, is something that needs to be studied and addressed, especially as used by that woman in Missouri in such a negative way, when this person was simply expressing.
You have to stop this.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Siri, you have to be quiet. No, you have to.
Siri, you talk the whole time, miss. Mute yourself. Thank you.
Okay. No, let me just say this. I muted. This is my list.
Excuse me. I'd like to say.
Hold on. I muted.
That is dangerous language.
Okay, now just
to use, especially in
you're gonna be removed unless you
especially
stay quiet for a minute. Stay quiet for a minute, please, please. I just want to say this. Tatanka, could you explain to Martin and Ziri our rules?
I have explained. I think what I heard, Myla, is talking about somebody who used abusive language against Ziri, named her. That was not an attack on her. That was a defense of her. That's the way I heard what went down. I could be wrong.
That's not what I heard.
Okay. So anyway, anyone that you have a grievance with on this show, it's part of what has come down through us is that you can be critical of the behavior and on the air because the person is not here to defend themselves. And then we get into a whole thing on the air. Describe the behavior, describe the actions, describe the injustice. People will be able to find out who you're talking about, but we don't do it on the air because it just creates that. So please go ahead. Whatever time was on,
yes, please reinstate my time. Thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate the gentleman's attempt, who shall not be named, to provide both sides of the COVID conversation. I think it's very necessary in today's world, regardless of where you stand, that both sides are heard and people are given options. And if there is an attempt to censor that, where one side is not being heard because of someone else's beliefs, then that makes that person no better than the sides that they state that they're trying to go against. Censorship is dangerous, and it goes against the mission of this station and program. COVID disproportionately impacts Black and Brown communities, and it is not right for that woman to manipulate the conversation at the expense of those communities. And I understand his passion, and I understand his response. While I don't agree with the language that was used, I understand where it comes from with the community that has been silenced and marginalized for so long throughout the years by people like that woman. That is the passion that you all saw and that you possibly experienced in those emails.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, we're up with, before you go, Janine, how are we doing on time?
But we've lost track of time. We're at time certain now, and 15 minutes. We've got about 5-ish minutes left in this 15-minute segment.
Okay, so I think we have about 10 minutes left in a 20-minute segment. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jenny.
Thank you. I would also add that I would like a continued time because the public comment used to be 90 seconds for.
It is 90 seconds.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is.
So I think I have a unique, first of all, I'm Janine Roan. I will be on the board come December, as a staff, representative. I am in a unique situation because I was actually on a lot of the, texts that were received, and they were shockingly disgusting, and they were aggressive. So I understand that somebody can say that dangerous is a bad word to use when referring to, you know, a Black man, but they were dangerous. They had the element of threat in them. So we're talking about a situation that was being handled very well behind the scenes by the producers of the show. And we have a manager who was busy and did not take care of the problem quickly enough and also had a very surface level attention to it and reacted with that by taking the show off the air. Even writing that newsletter to the membership before they even knew the details. And the idea that was the conclusion was that, oh, this is out of control. I'm just going to take the show off the air. Really lends itself to question if it was politically motivated. Let's just remember what happened this week, and we have an election. So the timing of this is very questionable.
Thank you, Janine. Let's see. Where are we? Did Alfredo speak earlier? I'm doing new time speakers.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Shaka, this is Myla. Can I be helpful here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Beth Von Gunten, Martin, Alfredo have already spoken.
Yeah, Daniel hasn't.
Daniel has not.
Okay.
And Linda's iPhone has not. And
Joseph has not. And Hunter has. Okay. Go ahead, Daniel. Thank you, everyone.
My name is Dan Nicewander. I've got a lot to say, so I'll try to wrap it up as quickly as
could
I
you,
can.
Do you have a little bit more volume, Daniel?
Let me see. Yeah, plug.
Is this better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. I'm a peace activist, pro economic growth, anti-imperialist and independent. I come from Occupy LA Media. That's how I know Michael. I was the acting
chair. Can't hear you.
You cannot hear me?
Can't hear you.
Is that better?
I can hear you just fine.
I was the acting chair of the community advisory board from approximately 2014-2016. I was a host and a content creator on the first year of Rebel Alliance News working with Ziri. And I still create content when I have time. Most recently, I interviewed Caleb Maupin from RT and the Center for Political Innovation I'm also a member of, and one of the Palestinian youth movement leaders downtown during one of the marches. There are people listening to this show. I know there are people that don't even have internet, so they're listening on actual radios, remember, like we used to for decades for this program. And working with the Rebel Alliance News team has been great. I know a lot of the people very well. Ziri's awesome. We have done great work, continue to do great work. It shouldn't be censored. We should be standing for free speech. Remember what we just went through. You know, if we don't come together and work together as a community or as a nation internationally, we got some serious problems. So that's why I'm a member of the Center for Political Innovation, because we're going beyond left and right. We're anti-imperialist. We're for peace. And people should have the freedom to say what they want. And we don't want mandates when we don't have enough information, and there should not be censorship. Speech is absolutely essential. We should be coming together, fighting one another, and keep this show on the air.
Thank you, Daniel. Joseph, right? Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you for hearing me. My name is Joseph. I work by trade as a computer programmer. I heard recently that a show was prevented because of their comments about COVID and the policies regarding that. I did not hear what they said in particular, but in general, I would suggest it is very important that we allow people to speak freely about COVID and related matters of health, especially because technology is very different these days. In the past, vaccines were made in a very different way than they are today. Technology has advanced much, and it's important that we remain vigilant about these new technologies and their potential effects on large populations. It's also a time of shifting politics, and that's another reason it's important that we remain vigilant and allow free speech and discussion and communication about topics such as the COVID-19 vaccines and related policies. So thank you for hearing me.
Okay. Thank you very much. How are we doing on time? And I'm just, most people here have spoken once, but I think there's one or two that haven't, and I'm not.
We started at 12:48 and it is now 1:06. So that's 12 and 6 is 18.
Okay. And we could have one more, but. Yes.
I'm sorry. This is Myla.
Yes.
I see that, Linda's iPhone user number 5. And I believe the person who is 310 ending in 521 have not yet spoken, and I believe everyone else has already spoken.
Okay. Linda's iPhone up first and then 521, and then I think we're not going to have time for second comments. I'm sorry. This is a really
point of order. It's out.
Yes, please. Linda's iPhone. Can you unmute?
You named me publicly.
We did. We did, because we're trying to hear from people who haven't spoken. And was Nancy? Did Nancy speak? Okay, let's go.
Nancy has not yet spoken.
Okay, let's go on to 521 and then Nancy. Okay.
I think we have Linda's iPhone first.
Jonathan Markowitz hello. Has not spoken. I have been on the phone for at least a half hour, 40 minutes.
You have your time now. Okay, I'm sorry we missed you. Go ahead.
Wait a second. He's been on 45 minutes. I've been on for 2 hours. And I'm 521. You just called me, correct?
Okay. Let's calm down. Who do we have speaking now?
My name is Ian Johnson. Excuse me, Jonathan. Would you please respect the stack, please? My name is Ian Johnston. I was recently elected to the board. I was the second alternate last year during the elections, and I should be sitting on that board currently. But because you are giving broad and blanket en masse excuses for absences in violation of Robert's Rules of Order, I am not. Brenda Martinez should be on that board, as I understand it, as well. I'm calling today because first off, I want to speak up on behalf of Rebel Alliance News. It appears that the problematic member of the team who had recently been brought on was attempting to assert editorial control over the show and making assaultive and threatening and abusive statements to his supervisors. That would get you fired in any professional setting, and it should have done that in this case as well. As I understand it, the general manager is the person who sent that gentleman onto the team. And so it is the general manager who caused the problems in the show. I don't think there are any problems in the show from what I've heard. I would also like to move on to the fact that there are like five or six agenda items that were not included from the motions from Rodrigo Argueta and Oscar Loa. There should be a governance committee which makes the agendas. The 1 o'clock time certain finds itself in no policy or procedure or bylaw or California corporate code. These meetings should be open and public, meaning at a public location. This excludes people who are on the other side of the digital divide. I'm running out of batteries having listened to this whole thing.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Ian.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to say we just brought Brenda Martinez on this morning, and the five or six items, we just haven't gotten to them yet. That's one of the reasons we have time limits here. Okay,
Excuse me. Hello, can you hear me?
Who's
this
speaking?
This is Linda. This is Linda's iPhone. This is Linda.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
I just couldn't unmute. Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here to be able to speak on behalf of Rebel Alliance News. I used to be a longtime listener to KPFK, and couldn't listen anymore, just as I can't listen to mainstream media anymore. There is no diversity of thought, okay? This should be about diversity of thought. And when I came across Rebel Alliance News, I went, hooray, yay, finally, we've got another point of view being told, which happens to be my point of view. And I'm so happy that they are so brave to come out and speak, and that KPFK had the cojones to do the same, to allow them to speak, and to hear that you would be taking them off the air is highly disappointing. You have the power there of broadcast media, and that you wouldn't allow another kind of voice out there so that people like myself would know that we're not alone, that other people think the same as we do. And I don't go to broadcast media anymore. I go on the internet to find the voices and the people who I agree with. And it's so refreshing to see a broadcast media allow this kind of point of view. Keep it on, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy, you're up, and then that's it for this segment. We'll go to Myla and then the committee reports.
Okay. This is Nancy from KPFT.
I mean,
Houston, okay. your sister station, way down south. Hey, Rebel Alliance News, y'all get your show together. Bring it to the table. Bring all the hurt and all the pain and all the things that need to be put out. And Michael's willing to talk and to discuss, and y'all come up with some guidelines you all agree to that keep things respectful, not only to each other, but to the audience. And the audience should not be hearing and told what to think, but just give them evidence so they can make up their own mind. Please, please do it quickly. I want to see every show improve, because every show has a way to improve, but you're not going to get that without a programming committee. That's the next thing. Get a programming committee open to the members of your station and skip the motives. There's no evidence to prove them. It's not productive. Please just start and go in a positive way, respectful to all each other. We need KPFK. We need Pacifica even more than we did before Election Day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jonathan Markowitz has not yet spoken, and I'm not sure whether Hunter Green spoke or
okay,
not.
Okay, can Myla, can you please stop talking now? Thank you. Okay, Myla, you are not the chair. Tatanka is, number one. Number two.
Okay, all right. That,
I'm under you. No. Tatanka, please, let me finish. I have a right to speak. Tatanka, I have a right to speak. Are you not the chair, sir?
This is not on the – I appreciate the comments. We need to go on to the next thing.
I've been waiting for – I let Ian Johnson go because I want to tell you I completely agree with everything.
This is the segment for non-board members to speak. That's all I'm saying.
I am not a board member.
Oh, who's speaking?
I'm a listener member.
Who's speaking?
Jonathan Markowitz.
Okay, go ahead, Jonathan. Sorry about that.
Okay, Myla is not the chair. Myla has been continually stonewalling people's ability to speak on this meeting and constantly interrupting your role, Tatanka.
Don't use
sorry,
names. I'm just being
statement.
Consistent.
Listen,
here,
you
okay?
You cannot censor me. What I just said is the truth.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Now I'm gonna talk about why I'm calling in. Under no circumstance should the news program, the KPFK news program, be canceled. There has to be a way to differentiate editorialization during the news hour. I think that what there should be is some segments that are determined, or shall we say, identified as editorial segments, where participants on the news program, that is writers and anchors of the news program, can then state their opinions about certain issues that have been presented, even contrary opinions. We have to allow contrary dialogue on Pacifica Radio. That's part of what this experiment was all about when Lewis Hill started this in 1949. But again, what has happened now is, even though we have very, very minimally democratized this network by establishing five elected station boards, the boards are acting as little juntas. Okay, this is inappropriate. Inappropriate for Myla to enforce what she believes on this meeting continually. I've heard this now for years. Myla, you need to let the chair take care of business. You are not the chair. If you want to communicate with the chair by chat, then go ahead. But to interrupt everybody else's time is absolutely inappropriate.
Yeah.
So you want to listen to yourself, then listen to the recording, Myla. What
that's
you're doing
the time.
Totally
that's the time, Jonathan. That's the time, Jonathan. And I want to thank you for your comments. That's a great suggestion for the editorial thing. And also, just be a little bit patient. I'm a new chair of a board. I mean, I'm not new to KPFA or KPFA.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be.
No, that's the end of your time. You're not being cut off for any other reason that we have a meeting to attend to. And I also want to say. I also want to say that I do rely on Myla for tech stuff. Okay. So, anyway, if it gets messy, please let's have a little, just a little bit more patience. My goal here is that we can all speak respectfully for each other and have different views, like COVID. I really think that's important. I have to state that. And my decisions in my life have been governed by that. That's all I'll say here right now. So this is an important issue, and it's important to hear all points of view. Now I want to hear, Myla has a report that hasn't been given, and then we need to go to member community announcements and new business, okay?
Thanks, Tatanka. I'm sorry, but at the last minute, Jan Goodman asked me to put together a motion that I just am not prepared to put together.
Okay.
And so I apologize, but we're going to have to deal with this at another meeting.
Okay, we'll deal with it at another meeting, and I hope, yes. Okay, that's all I'm going to say right now. That'll save us a little bit of time. We now have LSB member community announcements. Go ahead. LSB member community announcements. This is for LSB members. And I know one community, somebody could speak once again, because there's a couple people that have gone on about the event next Sunday. But other than that, any new ones?
Doug Barnett.
Yes, go ahead, Doug.
One of my wonderful girlfriends, my father-in-law, was a biologist for the government for years and years, ever since the Manhattan Project. He went to Japan and all that. And I went bar hopping with him when he was working for Department of Agriculture up in Berkeley. And those guys all said, if we say anything about what corn syrup is doing to the American population, we will be fired. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I will make a community announcement for the event next Sunday. It's our first in-person town hall meeting since COVID. And it takes place next Sunday afternoon. I don't have the address. I probably do have it if I look for it. But it's 2 to 6 p.m. And if a board member could please find the address, we can announce that. And then we'll go on to the next agenda item. I don't have the address in front of me.
May I speak? This is Rodrigo.
Go ahead, Rodrigo.
What happened with the motion?
That's next. This is the rest of the announcement. That's the next item. Very next.
I have one quick announcement.
Okay, go ahead for the next announcement.
Yeah, I put it in the chat, but we're having a Zoom meeting tomorrow for Armistice Day. Tomorrow is Armistice Day, and we're calling it Peace in the Middle East. A little different. We all bring Middle Eastern food of whatever kind with us. We get on Zoom. We talk about the culture and the people and try and put a human face to all this. We're going to have Lebanese people speaking about what they're going through right now, Palestinians, Iranians, and just gathering together. So I put the Zoom in the chat. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Mr. Chairman, also I would have a public announcement, please.
Yes, go ahead. Announcement.
Yeah, for the next Saturday, November 16th, from 1 to 4 p.m., the Spanish programming will be having a poetry and music hope festival. It's part of a series of all these events that we've been organizing at the El Sereno Community Garden on Huntington Drive, 5456 Huntington Drive. I place a copy of the flyer on the chat for those who want to attend or help. And in general, it will be a session of poetry. We have some really good poets, Spanish poets around. And of course, if there's somebody on the English side who want to jump in, everybody is welcome. Almost open mic, kind-like. Same thing as some singers from town. So musician players, we're going to have a couple of good friends in there. And of course, with good food. You guys, you know, pozole, different crabs. You're going to have vendors and stuff. So the invitation again, Saturday, November 16th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the El Sereno Community Garden, 546 Huntington Drive in Los Angeles. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Now we have, we just have two more agenda items. One is new business, and then I think close the meeting. So on these, we have two items. One is appendix number 4, motion submitted by Oscar Yoya and Rodrigo Argueta. And then we have another one submitted by Sue Cohen Johnson. I'm going to make a suggestion for this, my brothers and sister. We're at 1:23 right now. And there are several things in this. I would like, this is new business. Okay. So we're not going to make a decision on this anyway. It's going to come into next meeting. I want to encourage you to read the Article 4 section in the appendix and to understand that there are certain assertions here in the first part of it. I'm doing this to be helpful to you, okay? Of certain assertions that aren't true because they were checked, and you simply need to do your research a little bit better on the whereases in the beginning. And I am not prepared to say that by any means necessary we put somebody programming on the air, not at least until I consult with legal. This is a radio station, and I know full well the complexities of interpretation. I've been involved in this, you know, my whole life. I worked with Cesar Chavez for years. I've worked globally with Amnesty International. I've worked with the Dolores Huerta Foundation. I've worked some with various gang groups, et cetera. I understand. And one of the reasons why we don't have Spanish to English, English to Spanish live on the air is, and I hope we do, I hope that people are most interested, and I think it's Rodrigo and Oscar, you come up with a proposal that can give us quality translation, and then we have the conversation about it's going to make these meetings twice as long, okay, which I totally understand. I mean, I went through 4 years, 5 years of English, Tagalog, and Spanish at UFO at 40 acres. These meetings took all night, but they were worth it. So I don't have any preconceived notions on this. I'm just saying make your assertions sound when you say it's policy, because when you say it's something policy and we find that it was a proposal but not policy, and when you don't have articles in it and say it's just part of the bylaws, but there's no articles. So sharpen that up. And then Sue, most of your thing, I think we already covered, the chat thing has been covered. And then you also cite the 2007 thing, which was a draft proposal, which was never voted on. So we need, don't cite things that aren't true. It doesn't, we have a strong case to have bilingual programming, and we have a strong case to have programming. We might have to get into the podcast thing to get into all the 180 languages and cultures here. I don't know how we're going to solve it, but it's important that our audience be respected and we speak in their language. That's all I'm going to say today. And we will bring this up, and you know how to reach me. This is for board members. You know how to reach me. I have a telephone. I want to be involved in this. And anybody else that wants to reach me on certain issues, even COVID, you can find my telephone and call me. I'm committed to this. I can't imagine my life without Pacifica Radio, because it brought the world to me that I got nowhere from corporate or what they call public radio, but it's corporate sponsored.
Can we move up and motivate this, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, basically what we're like, listening to you, it's like listening to a lot of people. There's always good intentions for everybody. But when you don't suffer, you don't suffer. When you don't need, you don't need. Like, we talk a lot about inclusion and about like getting to the communities, blah, blah, blah. But it's all talk, my friends. You know, like, it's all talk. You know, when I hear, you know, the communities of inclusion, well, you know, and we got no support, you know, like, when we listen that there are people that are like Mexicanos or Chicanos, everything, but they don't vote in favor of something so simple, then you just wonder, you know, what exactly is going on. But what is going on exactly is that, you know, when you don't feel things, you don't feel it. If, you know, Oscar was inviting everybody even to speak in English. So what's the difficult on that when for the next event that we have? We've been open. We've been very inclusive. We are inclusive, actually, because we are part of this local station board, accepting everybody who speaks English, right? We don't force you to speak Spanish. So going from the simple, you know, because to the simplest expression, is that we are just, you know, moving that at the beginning of every meeting, you know, you ask, or whoever is the chair, to ask if anyone needs translation. So when you make this huge history about, you know, your, you know, participation in various communities, and, you know, it makes things, you know, even wonder much more. You know, if you have done so much work, you know, with the, our communities, well, what is it so difficult, you know, to do something like that? Which, by the way, you're not correct when you're saying that it's not part of, you know, our policy. It is. Everything that is part of the Pacifica bylaws is part of our policy. And the Pacifica bylaws as a whole establishes serving the various communities, geographic and demographic. Besides that, you know, we are supposed to access to the different positions, you know, of this Pacifica Foundation, this foundation. So you are like, and you've been consistently, not only you, of course, you know, through the years, you know, this board, the board, KPFK and PM and the Pacifica as a whole, you know, you've been excluding, you know, year after year after year, our communities. Why? Because if, let's say, si no hablo inglés, ¿cómo voy a participar en una reunión de la mesa directiva que solamente habla inglés? Nadie me va a entender porque no hablan español y tampoco tienen la delicadeza de buscar la forma de ofrecerlo. ¿Sí? So basically, you're looking to include our community, you know, not different than the politicians, you know, Democrats and Republicans, right? So my community can pay also for, like we've been doing it for years and years and years, can pay to sustain the radio station. But you're not willing to listen to us. And when you're willing to listen to us, we must do it in English. So this is an English-only local station board. That's what it comes to it, you know. So you're not correct, because if you read, you know, our mission, it talks about everyone, you know, origins. See, when you talk about origins, you're talking about languages. You cannot exclude one from another one or try to dissimulate, you know, that you're just only talking about, like, okay, you know, origins, but that speak English. No? And then even worse, you know, when you try to simulate things, you know, by saying, well, you know, how are we going to do this? This is so difficult. I mean, now we're going to have to deal with, you know, like how many languages, you know, makes things even worse, you know, and it makes wonder, you know, like, how far is the prejudice inside of our brain that we cannot see that we are prejudiced?
Okay, Rodrigo, can I respond?
Yeah, I'm just going to finish and wrap it up. So okay. The only thing is that what we are asking, Oscar and I, is that these local station board meetings request every time we start if there's anyone that needs translation. That's it, right? And it's not only me. A lot of people have been offered to help. So don't play that game, because that one just be like a lot of people. So no, and we did it before. And also, let me tell you, you're wrong when you're saying this is no, it has no precedent. Yes, Michael Novick was addressing this issue. We used to do it all the time. We used to do it. And there was no problem. Now we face these problems, you know. That's it. I'm closing with that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rodrigo. And let's work together. I actually think, why can't we get some money for this from that $107,000? So let's start there, because I'd really like everyone's input, especially yours, and find the best people for programming, I mean, for translation that we can get. When we want offer it, we have, and we're serious. We don't want to let our communities down. We need to have a plan, and we need to honor everybody. Okay. So let's work together on this. I have to say, it's been a meeting. It's gone to 1:33. My name is Tatanka Bricka. I'm going to adjourn the local station board meeting, and that will be one of the first items we bring up will be Spanish programming next month, and hopefully the three of us and others will have a proposal that's airtight, and then we can set the example. Okay, 1:33 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you, everybody, and I have to say that the people who spoke for Rebel News Network, you did them justice. It was very articulate, and thank you for honoring the time limits. Okay.
Everybody, please read the chat. I made a comment about the deep, maybe don't need